is an Auburn Network production. The following is an Auburn Network production. The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 18th, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this nice and somewhat warmer Wednesday afternoon. Not quite warm yet for those here in the South, but don't worry. The weather is coming back, and we'll see upper 80s and close to 90 this weekend. So if the cold is not your thing, just hang around, and it'll change in the next 12 hours. And so happy Wednesday. We have tons to talk about on the show today. Yesterday was a ton of fun. We did our bracket fill-in, our bracket breakdown, and mine has already been signed. It has been framed. It's been laminated.
Worst one in the company.
It's already been approved. I mean, it doesn't get any better. And we need to go through and fill it in online because our bracket challenge is live at ESPNAU.com, so be sure to go and fill that out. We'll shout that out here in just a moment. But yesterday was a ton of fun. We expect today to be no different. Christian, happy Wednesday to you, sir.
Happy Wednesday, man. We got all big three sports to dive into here this afternoon. Some more fun than others, I would have to say, but we do. We have all three major sports to dive into here today. We're talking Auburn baseball. Is my goodness, what they continue to do is absolutely incredible. It is historic when you really dive into some of the numbers and what Plainsman Park looked like yesterday. We'll also dive into Auburn basketball in the NIT, the first round taking on South Alabama. And the big second half for the Tigers, changing a whole lot of adjustments, also known as Kevin Overton making threes in the second half to defeat the Jaguars. And then Auburn football spring practice has begun. We're going to talk all sorts of news that has come out of the training facility. Why Byron Brown is just the worst quarterback ever because his throwing motion just is too long.
Get him off the team.
And he's honestly not going to be any good.
Get him out.
I mean, I was really excited about Byron Brown and Alex Golish coming from South Florida to Auburn, and then I watched him complete accurate passes, but it took a little bit longer, or it didn't look the way that we were hoping, and so because of that,
brother, this guy stinks.
Tomato. So we're going to dive into how this season, and just go ahead and put it down the dumpster, put it down the drain, because all of the couch coordinators and couch coaches seem to think so. And so we're going to dive into all of that here today. Should be a very, very fun hour number one here on the show.
Yeah, and no Jordan Hill today of Dogs 247. I hate that we can't get him on before Georgia competes in the NCAA tournament, but that's the reason he will not be with us. He is in Buffalo having media availability for Georgia, getting ready for the NCAA tournament. So we tell you he's the best in the business covering Georgia athletics, and the fact that he, you know, flew to Buffalo and, you know, put himself through that misery. And sounds like with all the airline stuff, I'm sure you've seen a lot of that with the FAA and all that. I mean, you've got – or the TA and going through security and stuff. It's just been – that's very political and stuff. There's a lot going on. A lot of security folks at the airports are holding out and not showing up to work because they're not being paid and all this type of stuff. So flying has not been fun for a lot of people. And you can imagine in the biggest airport in the world in Atlanta that could cause a slight problem. Plus, you have to go to Buffalo, New York. And who the heck wants to go there? So that's
why the weather might be the exact same from what it was a couple of days ago here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they still have another blizzard or two to go through before the year's over. But that's why Jordan will not be joining us today. So, unfortunately, don't get to talk to him, but we do have the whole first hour for you to be a part of the show if you would like to. Phone lines are open. Give us a call. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. Your thoughts on anything. Auburn baseball, Auburn basketball, Auburn football. Christian said it. We're going to have all three on the show today. We'll start hour number two with Double D Wednesday with Daryl Dappertz, and he is already fired up this morning. He has been in my text box, my personal one, telling us everything we need to talk about today. So I don't even know if 15 minutes will be enough for Double D today, but excited to have that at 3 o'clock. But again, all of hour number one phone lines are open, 334-321-1390, or the text box is always open at 334-784-1067.
We're also going to dive into the first play-in games from last night and how both of them, my goodness, essentially came down to buzzer beaters as Texas defeats NC State. You have a couple of the other play-in games as well. UMBC comes back from, what was it, 18? You turned that game off and didn't even pay much attention to it. Then all of a sudden,
I went back to the World Baseball Classic, yeah.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it was a four-point game. UMBC had a three-pointer from half court to tie it against Howard. But as the NCAA basketball tournament continues to quickly approach, it is time for Auburn Network's Basketball Mayhem Challenge. The challenge is now up. It is now live, and your bracket is ready to be made. So be sure to sign up early and be ready to make your picks over at AUNetwork.com. The best overall bracket at the end of the tournament will win these great prizes. A smart TV from Auburn Network, custom WeatherTech floor mats from Turner Auto Group, a Yeti Roadie from University Ace Hardware, and Visa gift cards from Point Broadband and CH Septic. The challenge, again, will close Thursday morning, I believe, is the first game is right around an 11:30 tip time, and so you have up until the very first legitimate play-in round of 64 game gets underway at the start of the challenge to fill out your bracket. So once again, don't miss out on the Auburn Network Basketball Mayhem Challenge. Sign up now at AUNetwork.com.
Yep, AUNetwork.com, ESPNAU.com. I don't want to get you there. You could do so in our app on Radio Alabama as well. So great
keep
sponsors.
Up with how I'm just going to win.
No. We will be in there. You'll be able to see our brackets in there and how I will lose on the first game of the tournament because it seems to always happen that way. And they do it strategically. They always put that 8-9 game, the controversial game, the coin flip game right at the start.
One of the worst ones, which will tomorrow, be a lot of fun.
It's Ohio State TCU.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun.
They always pick the one that, okay, which one is going to be about 50-50? Who's going to be a 0.5-point favorite in that contest?
Yeah, and it will be the Buckeyes and the Horned Frogs tomorrow. So yes, fill in your brackets, ESPNAU.com. Thank you to University Ace Hardware, Point Broadband, CH Septic, Auburn Appliance, and Turner Auto Group. But again, phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. And we start the show with maybe the best baseball team in the country. Now, head coach Butch Thompson does not want to hear that. He does not want to hear the positive things being said because that's not what it's about for him and his baseball program. But it's hard not to talk positively when you take down Georgia Tech 9-2, when you completely suffocate the best offense in the country, and you do it in all the right ways to where you did it in a midweek game where a lot of casual fans check out, but everybody knew this game was going on last night, and everybody saw the results of this game last night. 9-2, Tigers take down the Jackets.
And what is the, at least statistically speaking, the biggest matchup in Plainsman Park history? And we say that as it leads up to this weekend where you can reclaim that title once. Records are meant to be broken. Just not necessarily 3 days apart from one another. But no, Auburn does, I mean, absolutely incredible things. Georgia Tech scores one in the top half of the first. Auburn responds with one of their own, the Bub Terrell RBI double. And you then get a shutdown inning in the top half of the second, and the floodgates began to open. Auburn a three spot in the second. They then score five in the fifth. Georgia Tech scratches one across in the top half of the seventh inning. But my goodness, the best offense, at least to this point in the country, had three hits, did not have an extra base hit. Absolutely incredible to see what continues to go down with this Auburn baseball team. Yet, as you're mentioning, right on cue, Butch Thompson talked about it today. Oh, it's great. We silenced one of the best teams in the country. Yet our pitchers threw the lowest strike percentage that they have all season long. Yet that's still a 59% strike rate, which is still very, very solid. But as you know, and as you're a fan of the show and have listened, Butch Thompson wants that to be right around 60 to 65%. And there have been times where that's been a much higher than that. And so you're at 59%. And how funny is it that that's the one note that the head coach wants to continue to talk about? Shows his pitching mindset, although he is that head coach. That being said, how nice is it when that's the biggest complaint that you have?
Yeah, and you know, with all these midweek games, we talk so much about in losses, right? We go back to the Cincinnati loss where it was 8-0 Bearcats. We go back to that game and we talk about, okay, it's a midweek. Don't get too high. Don't get too low, right? Don't overreact to this. It's just a game. It's just one non-conference game. It's important, but it's not the whole thing. You have to carry that type of mindset into a game like this too, a one-off midweek game against a non-conference opponent right here in the middle of two SEC series. But when you win a game like that against a talented team in Georgia Tech, and the team you're facing this weekend lost their midweek game, Texas falling to Tarleton last night, you need to shine light on it and appreciate how big of a deal this was. Auburn made it look easy.
Yeah.
It was not. And the next time they play, which will be in a couple of weeks over in Atlanta, it will not be that easy again. But you can't get too high. You can't get too low. But man, that is a great win, especially when it comes to the RPI, which is something we haven't talked a ton about so far this season, because you don't really do that until you start getting into conference play and start thinking about postseason, right? And whether you are a top 8 seed or a top 16 national seed,
yeah,
and you start talking about hosting regionals, hosting supers, 9-2 win over Georgia Tech is going to go a long way in the RPI and for whatever your postseason outlook is.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned it's the idea of not getting too high, not letting this be the end-all, be-all mindset that you have, because I promise you that Georgia Tech is going to be just fine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go and you ask their head coach, okay, how much does this hurt? Oh, yeah, it probably hurt a little bit, but it's also a wake-up call to understand, okay, we're not where we need to be right now. And I feel like that's a good thing, and by no means is that a bad thing that Auburn did not experience that. And getting to hear from Coach Thompson again today, talking about how he still wonders a little bit, and he's a little bit frustrated that Auburn didn't have that two or three game skid where they have been really, really challenged. You've had a couple of times when you've had to come back and respond to that Nebraska series on Saturday and Sunday is a heck of a response after giving it up in the eighth and the ninth and then in extras as well. But you haven't had that three game fall off of, all right, let's see what we're made of. Let's test what we actually can do. You haven't seen that quite yet. And he made the joke of, well, I'd be fine if you didn't see that this weekend either.
Mm-hmm.
Because my goodness, this weekend, which we'll dive into here in just a moment, is going to be an absolutely incredible series. Georgia Tech averaged around 7 strikeouts per lineup. Their on base percentage was right around .500. And Auburn had 16 strikeouts last night. Andre Alvarez had 10 through 5 innings, and you just see the confidence oozing out of just about everybody. And Andre's always been one of those guys of, if you can get him out of the first inning, he really, really settles in, and that's exactly what you saw. You saw him rack up the pitch count a little bit in the first, a couple of walks and a hit in there as well to where Georgia Tech strikes first. But when you end up saying that your guy goes 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 3 walks, 10 strikeouts, and throws 94 pitches in a midweek, it's a pretty solid game against the number 3 team in the country.
I mean, we've highlighted so much too how Auburn figured out its weekend rotation very early in the season. It's been the same every weekend, as far as I can remember. I don't think they've changed it since the opening series against Youngstown State.
No.
You also found your midweek guy because he was from last year's roster, yeah. Right? And the idea that on opening day, you at least had a pretty good feeling that it was going to be Marciano, Sanders, Petrovic, and then Alvarez on a midweek,
and
right?
Chatterton in that conversation.
Chatterton
as well.
In there too. We've talked about him, the 1-2 punch on a Sunday.
Yeah. Well, he right? went yesterday as well, so that yeah. could be, even if that's the midweek type of guy.
Mm-hmm. But the idea that Auburn knew that at the start of the season and it's panned out to this point is unheard of. And how about this stat too? With Alvarez's start last night, it is the 10th straight start for an Auburn pitcher. The 10th straight start for an Auburn pitcher where they have not allowed more than one earned run. I'll say that again. Andreas Alvarez's start last night was the 10th in a row for Auburn pitchers where the starter has not allowed more than one earned run. I don't think people understand how absurd that stat is in baseball regardless, but in college baseball, and now we're talking SEC, high power, power four, power five, conference baseball too,
yeah.
Right? 10 in a row, that's going up against Georgia Tech, that's going up against Missouri, that's going up against several other big name teams on your schedule. That's no joke, man. Then you can't fake that. That's one thing I love about baseball. You can't fake it. Stats don't lie. They don't tell the whole story, right? We talk about that in a completion percentage in football or your turnover rate or whatever the case may be in basketball. Baseball, though, you ain't faking a stat like that. This pitching staff is the best in the country. And the only one that goes up against it is the one you're going to see this weekend at Plainsman Park with the Texas Longhorns.
Auburn wins it 9-2 over Georgia Tech. You look at also what the top half of the lineup did for this Auburn team. Chris Rembert goes 2-for-5, has 3 RBIs. Chase Frelick hits 2 doubles, scores 2 runs, 2 walks in there as well. Bub Terrell has 3 hits. Ethan Bigeman has a hit. That right there is 8 of your 11 hits, which you would like to see that spaced out a little bit more, yes, but then you get guys like Mason McCrane, who walks twice. You get Brandon McCrane, who scores, has an RBI on the walk, also scores a run as well. Gregorio with a solo shot. I mean, you're having...
That was good to see from
very
Gregorio.
Much so.
Big-time stuff.
But you're having so many of these guys that find success. Lucas Steele goes 0-for-1, but has an RBI, has a walk in there as well. Todd Clay picks up another hit and another RBI. Cade Ballou picks up another hit and an RBI. You're just starting to see it, man, where the constant pressure, and I like to refer to it as the dam starts to crack and then the dam finally breaks. It broke early in the second inning yesterday at Plainsman Park, and shout out to the crowd that was able to make it there for a 4 o'clock start that was already moved up in 40 degree weather where you thought you had tucked away your jackets and your beanies and you had to bring them back out. Probably won't need them this weekend, but credit to what Plainsman Park looked like, sounded like. The team absolutely responded. And now you move to this weekend, which is going to be, this can't be stated enough, and it fires me up to think about because I love college baseball more than a lot of things in my life. And you compare it to a great college football calendar day, right? Or you compare it to one of those Penn State-Oregon games in the middle of the season, or a college basketball game when Duke is playing on ESPN at night in Cameron Indoor. Plainsman Park is going to be the perennial site for college baseball this weekend, and that is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
You have the best two staffs in the country that are going at it, and two of the best lineups in the country that are going at it. It is strength on strength, and it is strength on strength. It is going to be so, so fun to watch when this Texas team comes to town. And I hope that people, and I think that they do, are beginning or have already caught on to what this season, what this team, what this coaching staff is doing. I need everybody there. I need everybody there at Plainsman Park this weekend. This is going to be absolutely incredible because everybody that gives anything about college baseball is going to be tuned in to Auburn, Alabama here this weekend.
Yeah, it doesn't get any bigger than what it will be. And it may not even be fair for this to be the second SEC series of the year.
It's not.
But here we are. I mean, this feels, you were making examples, this feels like Auburn, Alabama on the hardwood in the season, regular season finale.
Sure. Like, or this feels like one of those games that you watch in December in college basketball, and it's like, all right, this is a Final Four preview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how good this weekend is setting up to be.
Yeah, I mean, you look around the SEC as we go to break, there's no series that even competes with what's going to happen between Auburn and Texas. Oklahoma, LSU could be good. Kentucky, Ole Miss, I think, is sneaky good. You've got Georgia and Texas A&M. That's a good series. You've got Florida and Alabama, and funny enough, someone just texted us about Alabama baseball. We'll get to that on the other side. So it's Auburn to Texas this weekend, man. It's going to be fun. We continue talking Auburn baseball and all sorts of other things in Auburn athletics. If you'd like to do so and be a part of the conversation, we encourage you to do it. 334-321-1390 is the call-in number. We're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
Hey, this is your resident Super Bowl champ, Chris Candy from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, talking Auburn baseball as the Tigers get it done last night in pretty dominant fashion against Georgia Tech by a score of 9-2. And as much fun as it was, you got to quickly flip the page to what this weekend will hold. Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Plainsman Park. It's another top five matchup, and now the biggest matchup, highest ranked matchup in the history of Plainsman Park, when Auburn welcomes in the Texas Longhorns, who, I don't know, are they going to have some drag? Are they going to have some fire? Are they going to be lulling their way into Plainsman Park after falling in the midweek last night? I don't currently think so, but you never know. You never know how a team responds. Texas is a team that doesn't lose very often, and you could see this early on, maybe. I don't know.
I think they'll be just fine.
I'd be willing to bet on that, yeah.
I would tend to believe that baseball just baseballed over the midweek, as it does and as it has. I mean, Indiana goes to Nashville and beats Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
Charlotte scores, 11 in one inning, or was it 10 in one inning to beat South Carolina?
That South Carolina program's in rough shape right now.
They very much are.
Which is sad to see. That's one of the programs that when SEC baseball took a slight dip for a few years, that was one of the teams that still held strong. And
well,
now,
that was one of the teams that, I mean, they basically took the Vanderbilt kind of Ole Miss spot towards the top, because that was when, I mean, the SEC, funny enough, the thing that made the SEC take a big dip was Vanderbilt not being able to keep guys that were going to the NBA or the MLB draft.
Mm-hmm.
How funny is it that that's why the team struggled, and Vanderbilt is still kind of in that spot. They did win the series against LSU at home, which was a little bit of a surprise. Ole Miss beats Austin Peay. Mississippi State dominates Jackson State. Florida dominates Stetson. Texas A&M dominates, or they didn't dominate, but they beat Texas State. Southeast Louisiana blanked Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And Arkansas run rules Northern Colorado, but you mentioned Tarleton State beats Texas on the road 6-1. And the Jaguars of South Alabama beat Alabama.
Well, we got a text about Alabama baseball because the Crimson Tide have now lost 4 in a row, in case you have not noticed. They got swept by Kentucky in the opener for SEC play.
After having a 4-0 lead in game one in like the fifth inning.
It was a road series against a top 25 team, and we talk about in the SEC, the goal on the road is to win one. But you cannot get swept. Getting swept in any series in SEC play, road or home, puts you so far behind in the standings to where you have to make up for that somewhere, obviously. And not only did you lose the series and get swept, then you back it up with a road game to Mobile, right, against South Alabama, and you lose that 6-3. Here's your reward. Here come the Florida Gators, who are starting to figure it out this season. Someone texted and said that Bama fans have taken notice of Auburn's success and are calling for their head coach's head. So,
yeah, I mean, especially considering Auburn goes to Tuscaloosa this upcoming weekend.
Uh-huh.
That could be one of those.
Last weekend of March.
We see if Auburn's having success, we can't allow them to be the only one. We're going to all of a sudden, we're going to care about baseball now. And then you fast forward 3 years and it turns into where, kind of like SEC basketball, where it runs through the state of Alabama.
Yeah, well, this might be getting a little ahead of ourselves, but looking to the Texas series, right, with that conversation in mind of typically win one on the road, win two at home in an SEC three-game set. Not for Butch Thompson and not for the guys, because we've addressed that they don't think this way, but from the radio fan, media standpoint of the wins and the losses and the standings and postseason and RPI and things like that. Does the mindset change with how big this series is this weekend? Is it still viewed as two wins is the success mark? Or because it's such a big series, because Texas is so darn good, and they have just as good of a pitching staff as you do and the bats to match it, is it getting a win is good enough this weekend for Auburn baseball? Out of three opportunities, three chances, three games, is winning one good enough?
No. Because Auburn's at home, and if you want to have those types of expectations for your squad, I don't think it changes with the team. And again, if this is one of those games that Auburn does take one of the three, or one of these series that Auburn takes one of the three, by no means are we going to come on here and freak out about it. I think this is the epitome of a series, and all of them are, that you take it one game at a time.
I agree.
And I understand that obviously you take every single game one at a time, but if you take your Friday night game and Marciano goes out there and shoves and you win it 3-1, losing the series then would feel like a disappointment. But if it's a hard fart game on Friday, you fall, you win on Saturday and you fall on Sunday in a close game, I don't think that's the sign to throw up the caution flag. But I think you take it one game at a time, and I don't think the mentality changes.
The answer is depends. Yeah. I totally agree. I do. I absolutely agree.
And let me deflect forward your answer with another question.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, Auburn baseball is on a roll. What about Auburn basketball? Auburn football? Are they okay? Is his arm okay? We talk about all that right after this.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes in to the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. And we are going to talk a little Auburn basketball plus a little Auburn football here in hour number one as well. But, of course, the NCAA tournament has technically started with the first four games last night. Two more coming up tomorrow. But the actual games, the first round games, start tomorrow. They also are going to be on Friday as well. And what better way to tip off the tourney than with ESPN 106.7 being live on location for the third year in a row at the Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown. And it's brought to you by Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. This Friday, March 20th, that's where we'll be from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. and however long you want to stay and have cold snacks with Uncle T-Bone afterwards. We will be there live on location, the Max Roundtable, On the Line, and the Drive. Again, it's brought to you by our friends at Sensa Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation for air that's cool and clean. Get HVAC smart and call Sensa Green. And, you know, if your system is just crapped out in whatever weather we're having, call Sensa Green. They'll get you taken care of. They do fantastic work, and they are the best in the business. So go and check them out. They're the reason we're going to be there on Friday. Going to have a ton of fun. We always do. Going to have giveaways from Sensa Green, giveaways from us, plus drink specials from Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, and a good time for everybody. So that's this Friday, okay, March 20th. 20th at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge, ESPN 106.7, live on location to tip off the tourney with all three shows. Well, I can't remember a time we've ever done all three shows on the same day at the same spot, so we're going to have that this Friday. The Max Roundtable on the line in the drive. We are there, brought to you by Sensi Green Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. Any questions or anything, shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. We're happy to share those details with you.
I'm excited. This is going to be a whole lot of fun.
Oh, dude, it's a blast.
And based off of again, you mentioned weather permitting, setting up, supposed to be outside this year.
Yeah.
Watching everything.
Which is where we were the first time.
I guess, yeah, that was before my time. That was back in the olden days.
Back in the day. As of right now, okay, sunny and 77 Friday.
Whew.
So
that just means you get to have a couple of cold snacks, then work your way over to Plainsman Park.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we're excited for that, man. Again, going to be a ton of fun. Believe that Doug will be set up inside. We will be outside, so just kind of moving the party all over the place there at Plaza Bar. But we're going to be out on the patio. Cornhole will be set up out there. TV's on. All the games we'll be talking about. So very excited for Friday again at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge. Would be a ton of fun. So that's this Friday again, and how about those first four games last night, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what more could you ask for to get a tournament started where one has a half-court shot to take it to overtime, the other one essentially has another half-court shot to win it, but my goodness, Texas did everything they could after doing everything they can to win the game, to try and lose the game.
Yeah, they did.
NC State went on a run late. It was not necessarily a pretty game, and I saw some sort of statistic on Twitter, so you know that it's accurate, talking about the amount of teams that, or the amount of picks that have been switched from the 11 play-in game to BYU after watching that game.
Yeah.
You are solidified in your quickcrete.
Yeah, what are you talking about, man? I have so much confidence with Texas after watching that game last night. I doubled down on Texas.
But how many times have
you seen it? I put both my houses on Texas.
And the apartment, man.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, the side apartments.
Yeah. The ones that, the passive income is the one that you didn't know about, that I don't know about, that I still pay rent on. That's crazy.
I am so unconfident in my pick of Texas, but I am sticking with it.
But how many times do you see it to where that play-in game where you get out all of the anxiety? Sean Miller talked about that on the court after the contest of, man, these teams, we played each other in Maui, and it was, 102-98 or whatever the case may be. This one was a lot slower, a little bit more methodical.
And half
he said
of
he could feel the anxiety, and you could see that based off of the wide open layups that were smoked and the amount of just carelessness that you saw and the amount of missed open shots. And Sean Miller kind of accredited that to a lot of the anxiety, just a lot of the travel. And so how many times do you see it to where once you get a game under your belt, that is when you feel like you can go on a little bit of a run? So Texas trying to pull off one of the big upsets in round one. They take on BYU here in a couple of days.
Yeah, so those first four games were last night. A couple more coming up tonight, including SMU and Miami of Ohio. SMU, in our opinion, shouldn't have been in. Has nothing to do with Auburn. In a vacuum, that team's not good. They didn't deserve to be in. Their resume sucks, and they should not be in the NCAA tournament. Then there's Miami of Ohio, where half the people said they should, half the people said they shouldn't. So now they have a chance to prove it.
And then the other half, so 150% of the people, had an opinion on this that said that Miami of Ohio shouldn't even be in a play-in game. They should be solidified into the tournament. And so you do. You have both of these teams, which I guess from a play-in game, it's exactly what you want, and that's why we had that glimmer of hope that Auburn was going to be in the March Madness tournament, of just the prove-yourself type of mentality. Miami of Ohio obviously wants to prove why they deserve to be in the tournament, why they deserve to have a whole lot of respect, and SMU, with essentially being that very last team into the tournament, wants to kind of show everybody that, okay, we were ranked early on this season, kind of had that sputter, and didn't necessarily end the things the way that we wanted to, but they want to prove why they belong as well. The only thing is, I don't necessarily feel that a win over Miami of Ohio for SMU would go down as a, see, I told you. I told you we belonged here in this tournament.
No, I think it would go down as, see, I told you Miami should not have been in
Correct.
The tournament.
And that's where this game is a little bit different, because I feel like for Miami of Ohio, if they win in, they get to double down of, see, I told you we belonged, and because it would be a win over SMU, which would be, would that be the first quad one win? Is that one of the statistics you read the other day about Miami of Ohio getting in without playing one quad one game?
I think something like that. SMU's 37th in the net.
Yeah,
so.
And since it's neutral side, it's top 50. So this would be, this is their first quad one game of the season. So this will be very, very interesting to see how this one plays out. And then what's the other, the 16 seed here tonight?
I don't have it pulled up. I have the NIT stuff pulled up.
Oh, well, that's more important. Let's dive into dive into what Seattle did.
Oh, Tripp showing
here
you right
tonight.
Now. What's the other game tonight? I can't. Brother, that I cannot read
that. Brightness is on -4.
And you're showing the blindest person in the room.
Oh, that's the
Prairie View A&M and Lehigh.
That's right.
Do you remember? Where were you? Where are you? Where were you when Lehigh won?
That was not
in the
song
NCAA.
I thought you were going with.
What do you think I was going with?
Old school Alan Jackson.
Oh, I love Alan Jackson. That's okay. Where were you? Yeah. Oh, that is such a good song.
Yeah.
Kind of depressing.
Where were you when Lehigh
won in the NCAA tournament? It was Lehigh who beat Duke way back when. Am I correct on that? Was that 20? Ooh, I'm going to say 14. Was it Lehigh as a 13 or 14 seed that beat the Duke Blue Devils in the first round? We got a research department on it right now. If I pulled that out of my brain, 2012, Lehigh over Duke. What seed was Lehigh? Do you know? They were a 16 or a 15? 15. A 15 over a 2. Okay, so I was on the right track. 15 seed Lehigh over 2 seed Duke.
You basically said that. You were basically
right. That's basically what I said.
Yeah, basically the year and the seed line, yeah.
I was within 5 all the way around, so we count it in this book. Yep. You don't remember that? You don't remember Lehigh beat? I was in class, swear to God. I was in class. We're sitting on the floor. We were watching it on the smart board. You remember those? Remember the smart boards back in the day?
You're so much older than me. I didn't have a brain back then.
Yeah. I don't remember what grade. 2012.
Back when you were in,
I would have been
4th grade and I was in 3rd grade or whatever it was.
No, I was 12 then, so I would have been in 7th grade probably. Middle school. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lehigh was wearing their brown jerseys in that game. Yep. They were wearing brown jerseys. They took down Duke in the first round.
Who was Duke's?
Oh, God.
What was Duke's team?
I don't know. The Duke Blue Devils in 2012. I don't know. The head coach was Coach K. That's what I know.
Austin Rivers, Quinn Cook, Mason Plumlee.
Oh, that was a nasty team. Austin Rivers.
Seth Curry was on that team. Man.
I remember that. Don't ask me why I remember it, but I do.
The freshman Marshall Plumlee. Oh, dude, I remember. Holy cow.
The Plumlee brothers.
Yeah, Miles was the senior on this team.
Yeah, nasty
Andre
stuff.
Dawkins.
Mm.
Josh Hairston. Dude, these are all names that it's like.
Yeah, you're digging right now. So Lehigh's back in action.
Remember.
Yeah, Lehigh's back in action tonight. But when the first four was happening last night, so was the NIT. So was Auburn. Tigers were in action last night. And they may have had 200 people there to watch it. Maybe. Maybe 205.
I mean, with $25 a head.
Carry the 3.
Carry the 3, divided by 2, put that towards NIL. I mean,
you almost broke even.
A whopping
$4.
No, I'm just kidding.
Auburn, 78. South Alabama, 67.
Good thing nobody stressed this game at halftime, right?
No.
36-30. Everybody went ahead and went to bed comfortably and moved on with your afternoon, with your evening. You got to watch the end of the World Baseball Classic and go to bed and not really worry about anything else.
Yeah, how sucky was it to watch
the How much does it US? Suck that the Bryce Harper home run will go down as one of the more forgotten home runs in the history of the United States?
But for about 6 minutes, it was one of the most historic home runs in the history of United States baseball.
That trot was awesome. The salute at
the
third.
Toss. Oh, so good.
Sitting there pointing at the American flag. And I am glad, A, because I could take heat for this, but ever since I was little, I've always been weirdly, just the college baseball or the baseball growing up, you always find like that one player that was in high school that was just better than everybody else. Bryce Harper was that guy for me. Hearing about him in Las Vegas and watching videos in elementary school and middle school of him hitting in the cage, going out and hitting the ball over roads in high school, and obviously through that journey of starting in the MLB so young, having the success, being the cocky MF-er that he was, going back down, coming back up with the Nationals, and just being kind of that spark plug, then being traded, and now is looked at as one of those veteran guys. He's always been one of, if not probably, my favorite player in baseball. And the fact that he had a couple of quotes that he took a lot of heat for before the World Baseball Classic I mean, this is fun and all, but this is not the Olympics. And for him to then be the one to kind of hit that home run and
after
still,
struggling throughout the entire tournament.
Right. But for him to be able to have that moment to kind of clear everything up, at least from my perspective, it made me happy. Not maybe not even more happy than if anybody else would have done it, but a cool moment, just almost like a redemption. And the call that we listened to is incredible, better late than never. Just a really, really awesome moment. And then unfortunately,
for about 6 minutes,
for baseball fans that know it,
don't give up leadoff walks.
Leadoff walks will do it.
They come around and score
more times and more often than anything else.
A walk, a stolen base, and then a pitch that I'm not allowed to say where it was on the radio for Eugenio Suarez. I am happy for Ronald Acuna, though. So
yeah, he was excited.
At least he gets to win another championship before going to another team and winning a lot more championships.
Yeah, because it ain't going to be in Atlanta, I can tell you that.
What do you mean? We're like the third betting favorite to win it.
To win what? The division?
No, the World Series. I'm serious.
According to your sports book?
No. Hold on, let's pull it up right here.
Yeah, you have the third best odds to win the East.
MLB World Series odds. This was from 2 days ago. Dodgers are first. Okay, they are a little bit further down. They've dropped a little bit. One, two, three.
I wonder why.
They are seventh. But, I mean, again, if they can just not have injuries, which they already have.
I was about to say, they've already had them.
They don't even know who their starting rotation is for starting or for opening day.
That's good, right?
Opening month.
Yeah, that's good, right?
I might get the call up, honestly.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. let's not go too dramatic now.
I'll do it for a normal contract. I will.
Why? The Braves will give you a stupid one if you ask for it.
No, they don't pay.
True. Yeah.
Pain.
You're already having Braves pain, bro. We're not even to opening day yet.
They are. Holy cow! It's already over. They beat the Phillies 3-2 today.
Wow.
So take that for what you will. Take that, COVID.
How about we take a break and we come back and we wrap up the first hour? We will talk about Auburn in the NIT because they did come back and beat South Alabama 78-67, and has people asking, why didn't Cade Magwood play more? We talk about that and wrap up the first hour of the show right after this.
This is Evan Cohen from Unsportsmanlike, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. And how about Auburn last night, Christian? Basketball season continues on. Tigers get it done against South Alabama. 78-67. Nobody was worried at halftime, as you mentioned. Everybody was fine. We figured South can't shoot 60% in both halves, right? And no way Auburn would shoot more threes in the second half than they did in the first half. And no way you predicted that it would just be an all-out three-point barrage from the Auburn Tigers. And for most people, they were reminded that Cade Magwood was still on the team.
Surprise!
He's back.
14 points in 17 minutes, 4 of 8 from the floor, 3 of 7 from deep. I do think there is a conversation that is a different type of kid that we saw early on in non-conference play and then the first two games of SEC play. I think that's been a big conversation, and he is a very different type of player, but I think this one was also just a carefree go out and go, and you saw what he was able to do, which brings up the question of, yeah, what was going on during the season of how bad did it get or how bad was it that number five didn't step on the floor?
I didn't even think about stepping on the floor. Never took off the shooting shirt in the regular season. Last time he played was in early January against Texas A&M.
Yeah, he played a little bit against Georgia, a little bit against A&M, and then...
That was it. It took a game that... didn't matter for him to get back in.
Yeah.
So
Stephen Pearl saying that he had straight A's in class and wanted to reward that. All just speculation. There had to have been something more than what everybody has already seen.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know, man. Not saying that Cade Magwood was going to be the saving grace for this team, and if he had played, they would have made the tournament. I think you're a better team.
You have another body.
At very least, you have another body.
I mean, 17 minutes he played, but it felt like he was on the floor and made a very big impact for the entire contest, and again, this is not even primarily because of, but I think he would have played a little bit, but with Keyshawn Murphy not playing in the contest, made a little bit of a damper onto that, and we don't have a whole lot of details. It didn't seem like there was much love lost in the post-game, or it didn't feel like there was any hatred, I guess I should say, towards that. It sounded like personal reasons, but it wasn't necessarily something that was overly informed, and so a little bit of a muddy water situation on that side of things. But a 6-point game, South Alabama with the lead at halftime, and a lot of people give a whole lot of credit to the team and the coaching staff for making a whole lot of changes at halftime. The only change was Kevin Overton making 7 threes, because there wasn't too much of a change. Auburn shot 44 threes.
Stupid.
In this contest. There was a time Auburn was 5 of 24 from deep, and I believe they were 7 of 31 from the field. That's gross.
Yeah. For a team that during the regular season, we said if they shoot 22 or more threes, and that's a bad offensive game plan. This team should not shoot more than 20 threes a game. They shot 40-plus last night.
And Stephen Pearl talked about it in the post-game press conference of the first half was a little bit expected, just based off of not the not wanting to be there factor, but just from the disappointment of not making the tournament. And I will say that I'll double down with that, because the second that I looked at the floor and I saw NIT, the big logos on either side, that hurt a little bit. But credit to them, I guess, for showing up and showing out in the second half. And Auburn now awaits their game time on Saturday morning, afternoon, night.
Yeah, I mean, you play, God, I don't even remember who it is.
I think did Seattle?
Yes, it is. End it's up winning? Seattle. Yeah, it's Seattle. I wanted to say Southern, but I knew that wasn't right. Seattle is who it is. But yeah, we don't know what time, because the NIT just decides to do whatever they want to do, because it's almost like they know it's not the main event going on.
It's almost like they need to look around everything else going on and say, okay, we need to find some sort of viewership, so let's not put it at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 11:30 at night, we'll find a time to where maybe the Night Owls will watch.
Yeah. Good thing there's nothing else going on in Auburn that's going to bring a lot of people to downtown.
Yeah, well... okay, we will take our top of the hour break. We'll come back, and Christian is out, and he's heading to Phoenix City. Have fun with that, buddy. You're going to Central. I'll tell the people what they need to know about that. Double D, Darryl Dappertz, joins us to start hour number two. Think he's got thoughts on Byron Brown's arm? I hope he's okay. We'll talk to Double D about it to start hour number two.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 1067. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7 Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. No Christian Griffin as he is hitting the road heading to Phoenix City for Lee Scott to take on Central today on the baseball diamond. It's been like 2 weeks since Christian's called a game. Lee Scott was down and out traveling and taking a spring break beach trip for baseball and things. And so he is back on the air over on the Lee Scott Sports Network on Tiger Country 104.5. So you can spend your Wednesday evening with him. They've got a 5 o'clock first pitch. They're on the Lee Scott Sports Network. It's Lee Scott and Central. How about that? The Warriors and the Red Devils going at it. 7A versus 3A. So he's heading out, heading to Phoenix City. He'll have that call for you coming up in just a couple of hours. So it's you and me, just like old times here on ESPN 106.7. And if you missed any of the first hour with the both of us, we talked a lot of Auburn baseball as the Tigers take down Georgia Tech. They dominate Georgia Tech at home last night, 9-2, what it means, why it's a big deal, and how Auburn can use that to build on what's coming up this weekend against Texas. Plus, we talked about the first four last night, talked a little World Baseball Classic in there as well, and yes, Auburn basketball winning in the NIT, taking down South Alabama, so a very jam-packed hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can go back and catch up with the podcast version of the show. Check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also find at ESPNAU.com. You can find our Basketball Mayhem Challenge going on right now. So before the tournament tips off tomorrow, be sure to go and fill out your bracket. It opens up today. It is open today. And you can sign up, fill out your bracket for a chance to win great prizes, because the best overall bracket is going to be rewarded all of these great prizes. A smart TV from us here at Auburn Network, a custom WeatherTech floor mat set from Turner Auto Group, a Yeti Roadie from University Ace Hardware, and Visa gift cards from Point Broadband and CH Septic. So be sure to go and fill out your bracket before tomorrow's first game at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, we're going to talk a little Auburn football. We'll talk some more Auburn basketball. We'll talk anything else going on in the world of sports. It'll be you and me here in hour number two, but we are very excited to start the second hour of the Wednesday edition of the show with a guy that we always start the second hour with. It's Double D Wednesday. It's our man Daryl Dappert of Locked On Auburn and the Bar. Double D, my man, I know you're fired up today. I'm glad to have you with me. Hope all is well in your world.
Man, everything's great. Yes, a lot of fired up. Man, was yesterday not just a really, I guess, one of the most active sports days on campus for Auburn University? I mean, everything that was going on is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, all three major sports were in some sort of action, with football getting underway for fall practice, basketball hosting the NIT, and Auburn baseball getting the biggest win against a ranked opponent in the history of Plainsman Park. I mean, it really doesn't get any better than that. And so we're going to talk about all three, Daryl, but I toss this to you, my friend. Where would you like to begin? Is it the drama with Auburn football, whose quarterback has a broken sideways arm? Is it Auburn basketball that had to come back and win in the NIT, or is it Auburn baseball, who might just be the best team in the land?
Let me link all three for you.
Okay,
there is a certain faction of fan base that is extremely concerned about Byron Brown's throwing motion, Caden Magwood not playing all year, thinking that he would have been the difference putting Auburn in the NCAA tournament, and the baseball team, other than the Georgia Tech game, struggling to score runs. Same fan base, same MO, every, you know, it's just, it's amazing to me. There is so many things out there, Jacob, that really are real issues for Auburn fans to be concerned about and to be upset about, right? Mm-hmm. Missing the NCAA tournament, three or four losing seasons in football. Manufactured stuff is just starting to really weigh on me. And I get it. It's this really defeatist kind of like, when is the other shoe going to drop attitude, because people are just kind of jilted from Auburn athletics. I mean, there's been a Final Four run, but then Bruce Pearl retires and you have this basketball year. You know, baseball loses to Penn that one year when they're hosting a regional. You've got the football thing. So I think that there is this certain, I don't know, attitude or philosophy that it's Auburn and something bad is going to happen, and there has to be something to find to worry about. And I contend that there is enough issues, like one of your starters deciding to opt out and not playing an NIT tournament and not tell the coaches, just not show up to practice. I mean, that's a concern, right? But the other things, I mean, Byron Brown threw for 3,000 yards. I don't give a crap if he throws an underhand. He gets it done. He gets it from point A to point B. So I guess we'll start with the basketball. You know, obviously, since the last time we talked, Auburn misses the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They blow a 10-point lead to Tennessee. And the eyeball test tells you that they shouldn't have gotten in. The eyeball test, the trend, the recency bias, all that. I get that. You know, I totally get that argument. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you're going to use metrics and throw around KenPom, Net, BPI, all those things that the committee allegedly uses, then I don't understand how they were left out. If you use one set of rules, I get it. If you use what they say they're going to use, and then, you know, Keith Gill gets on there, the Sun Belt commissioner, and makes a claim that SMU had more quality wins than Auburn. And that's another problem that I have, is that don't manufacture stuff. Don't make up stuff. Don't give people misinformation. You should be better than that. You're a commissioner of a conference, for God's sake. Know what you're talking about. Do your research. If you're going to make a statement like that and it's 100% false, you look like an idiot. Say they had 16 losses. Say they were on a downward spiral. They weren't playing well. They found ways to lose games. Do not use a false metric or made-up metric that says SMU, when Auburn had like 7 or 8 wins against the field.
Right.
You know, and that's the problem I have, is that which is it? And then, I mean, there are enough reasons for Auburn not to get in. I get it. But don't use a flawed one. And so do I think they should have gotten in? No. I mean, based upon the fact of the way this team was playing, the makeup of it, they looked like they had everything to play for, night in, night out, and the other team was the one that came out with more urgency and more, you know, and so that's why I think, you know, I would have a problem putting a team like that in. But if it's based upon metrics, yeah, they should have been. So now you get the NIT. I never thought they would have accepted the bid.
Do you like it?
I was shocked. Huh?
I said, do you like it? Are you a fan of it?
No, I'm not. And in the first half of last night, was exactly why I'm like, see, this is your worst nightmare. You're going to accept a bid to the NIT. You're getting outplayed by a Sun Belt school. It's going to be even worse for you in the national media and the shots that people are taking at Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl. And, you know, you're shooting 25% against the team, you know, from the Sun Belt Conference. They're lighting it up. You have nothing to gain here, everything to lose. Fortunately for Auburn, in the second half, they came out, they played really well, they got things corrected, and now they move on to the second round. And obviously with every round that you advance, it puts a little bit more legitimacy to it. But I'm shocked that they voted to play. I just did not think that the players would vote to play. And the first half looked like they didn't want to be there, you know, that they yeah. wanted to be anywhere else but there. So, I mean, they figured it out. Good for them. Now they move on to the University of Seattle, which, you know, they'll play Saturday or Sunday. We'll find out tonight. And then hopefully they can just keep winning. But I guess for experience, I guess for, you know, maybe give guys like Walker and Magwood a lot of minutes, and then I can see the benefit. I would have turned the bid down based upon the fact that you just went to the Final Four last year, and I just don't feel like the overall pulse of this team is one that wants to be in this tournament, but yet, surprisingly, they voted that they wanted to.
Yeah, and I feel like the fan base shared a lot of that mentality too, right, Daryl? I mean, I didn't see or hear a lot of Auburn fans excited or supporting or jubilated about the idea of accepting the NIT. And then, as you've mentioned, you had Murphy opt out. Caden Magwood plays more minutes because of it, because you simply don't have enough dudes. And all of a sudden, he goes off for 14 points, and you have people asking, well, where the heck has this guy been?
Exactly. And all that ends up doing
causing
is creating
more problems.
Drama and second-guessing of he should have been here all year playing. He should have been in instead of Mishalik. If he comes in and gives you 6 to 8 points a game and plays 10 minutes, you could win one or two more games. But ironically, people need to understand Magwood was not playing all that great when he got benched.
Correct.
Now, he didn't get benched for performance, but he wasn't lighting it up. Go back and look at his Texas A&M line. He was on a big-time downward trajectory with the way he was playing. My only concern is the inconsistency of it. I don't know if we still got a good answer as to why all of a sudden he was allowed to play. Because everything that I heard and saw about that suspension was that was a season-long suspension. Then all of a sudden, by coincidence, you're down a player who opts out and he gets the suspension lifted.
Well, the way I look at it, it was a game that didn't matter, Daryl. It was a game that didn't matter. That's why that's how I see it. That's how it comes off to me.
If it doesn't matter, then why play it?
I agree.
And why vote to play in it? If it doesn't matter, then do not vote to play in it. It wasn't like a closed-door exhibition against Memphis.
Right.
Whoever. You know, it was an NIT. I mean, you charge admission. You had students there. So, you know, if it was one of those situations where there was a conversation that was had early in the year, and it was like, okay, you are going to be suspended for the rest of the regular season, then that makes sense because now we're in the postseason, right?
Yeah.
But if it was based upon, oh, well, now we need you. Now you need to play because we're down a man, and I was planning on suspending you the whole game or the whole year. I just don't know the answers to that, but I don't know. I mean, there's an inconsistency about that.
Sure.
That is like, you know, and I guess as a coach, you have every right to play and unsuspend and lift suspensions for any player. I guess my point is if you were going to play him in this game and you were going to lift the suspension and not sit him the rest of the year, then maybe you could have done it a little bit earlier.
Well, that's the chaos and drama that is surrounding Auburn basketball, who will again be playing this weekend against Seattle. We don't know the day. We don't know the time. We'll find out more this evening after the other games in the NIT are played. We're talking with Double D, Daryl Dappert of Locked On Auburn and the Barn here on ESPN 106.7. Let's move to the football drama here quickly because it's drama that shouldn't be. You said it. It's a manufactured storyline that Auburn fans are fired up about, opposing fans are causing Auburn fans to be fired up about it. Can we please drop the idea that Byron Brown's throwing motion is broken? You said it. He threw for 3,000 yards last year, folks. Can we please find something else to complain about?
First of all, if you're an Auburn fan and you care at all about what an Alabama fan says about your quarterback's throwing motion, get over it. Who cares what they say about Byron? Don't even pay attention to it. Don't even think twice about it. Their opinion of Auburn's quarterback means nothing. It's absolutely irrelevant and of no value what an Alabama fan base or an Alabama fan or a Bammer says to an Auburn fan about, hey, your quarterback's throwing motion sucks. I mean, who cares? You think Texas fans cared that Texas A&M fans made fun of Arch Manning's throwing motion, which is awkward and unorthodox, by the way? Who cares? Who cares what they say? You know, I mean, they got their own problems over there. So don't. I mean, it's just not even something worth giving any kind of credence to. If you are an Auburn fan and you are again shell shocked, PTSD triggered because of the kind of football seasons that Auburn's had, and the Peyton Thorne hype and the Jackson Arnold hype, and you're like, here we go again.
Right.
You know, last year it was Jackson Arnold held on to the ball too long. Well, that turned out to be true. He did. In fact, he's still holding on to the ball right now as we're talking. I think he's still holding on to it. But Byron Brown has equity. He has a resume. He's done it. He's put up big numbers, you know, in major college football. He's beaten Power Four schools. I don't care how the ball gets there. It gets there with velocity and zip. The throwing motion is unimportant to me. And people that think, oh, that's going to get him sacked. No. I mean, he understands rhythm and getting rid of the football.
Yeah.
And he gets it there, and he gets it there on time. So, again, something to be concerned about. I told you this before. This was an expression I used months ago. You could give a certain faction of Auburn fans, especially that it was St. Patrick's Day yesterday, a big, giant bag of gold, and they'd complain it was too heavy.
I think you're right. I do.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, I mean, or they don't like rainbows. My God, this pot of gold is at the end of a rainbow.
I had to carry it too far home.
I had to carry it too far. I mean, just stop.
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't even played a down yet, and people are finding things to worry about. Now, I get that. There's some, again, they're skittish. They've got
it's PTSD
trauma.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got Peyton Thorne, right? Whoever calls stress disorder, PTSD.
I just hate that that's the storyline coming out of day one of spring practice.
Yeah, well, you're going to find, I mean, there shouldn't be any storyline.
I totally agree. Spot on.
There's nothing you can garner about a worthless practice against air. I know that our compadres and people that are, you know, they're my colleagues and people that I work with and do things with, they're there and they're covering it. And that's great because there's a certain faction of it of seeing certain guys in uniform, finally, that you've read about. But there is nothing to be gained from spring that should be a storyline. I mean, all the talk, all the stuff, all the people getting enthused and fired up, that's what they should do. It's March. You know, I mean, A-Day will tell a little bit more of a story, but you can't tell anything, and there's really nothing to be gained from watching practice against air.
Well, I'll tell you a sport and a team that is getting some positivity and learning some things in the spring, Daryl. That's Auburn baseball, who continues
they're the real deal.
They are the real deal. Darrard Appert of Locked On Auburn in the Barn with us for just a couple of more minutes here in hour number two of the Wednesday edition of On the Line. It's my understanding you were at Plainsman Park last night for the highest ranked matchup in the history of the stadium, where Auburn beats Georgia Tech 9-2, and they carry that into the highest ranked matchup in the history of Plainsman Park this weekend against Texas. Butch Thompson's squad is shoving right now, Daryl.
Yeah, I went. I went just as an observer, just to enjoy the game. The atmosphere is incredible. 6,600 people on a Tuesday midweek game that was freezing when the sun went down. I brought a cousin of mine who is a lifelong Auburn fan, probably one of the biggest reasons why I followed Auburn when I moved here.
Okay.
And since I was a kid, and he had never been at an Auburn baseball game. I immediately almost said, we're not related. I'm not talking to anyone. That's embarrassing. But I brought him to the game, and he has been to a ton of major league games, biscuits, all that. He was absolutely eaten up with it when he left. He's like, I've got to come back here.
That's
this
awesome.
Environment is incredible. And it is. It was. And it's, you know, it's just, it was, look, Alvarez is every bit, could be a weekend starter. But he's not. You throw him midweek, and he's got electric stuff, especially when he gets out of the first inning. He always seems to struggle a little bit in that first inning. And then once he settles in, man, is he electric. And then it's good seeing Rembert swing the bat well, you know, and Bubbs hitting the ball good. Nice piece of hitting going the other way. Look, to put it in perspective, I don't care that it's a midweek game. You played the number three team in the country and spanked them. Could have run ruled them if a couple other things went Auburn's way. They had a guy thrown out at the plate. They hit a ball right to the wall that almost got out. That would have been a three-run homer. Auburn spanked the number three team in the country. And, you know, it wasn't like Georgia Tech wasn't trying to win the game. They used six different pitchers. And so they had their regular lineup. They had their midweek guy that had a 1.09 ERA. And Auburn took care of business. This is a very, very good baseball team. And you know what I didn't realize, Jacob, until I was sitting there in the stands looking up at the Jumbotron, and I know I've done some shows with Zach, and we've done some lives afterwards. Mm-hmm. It never really dawned on me how young this team is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's nothing but freshmen and sophomores.
A ton of guys came back from last year that were a talented freshman, yeah.
Yes, and then you've got a lot of freshmen that are just put right in the lineup, and then you got Gregorio, who hasn't played a lot this year, and he goes yard. I mean, it's just, I get it. I mean, you still got a lot of the SEC season to go, but this team, and having watched college baseball for a very long time and loving the sport, man, does this team have that look? They have it. They can beat you 8-6 if you want to get in a slugfest. They can beat you 2-1. Guevara didn't play. He has a little bit of a leg issue. Probably back against Texas. Probably was precautionary. But he's one of the best third basemen in the country. A dynamic glove. He locks down the third base, the hot corner. Mm-hmm. They just can beat you a variety of ways. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, pitching travels, defense travels. You get that team in that ballpark in front of 6,700. You are in LSU, Texas, Mississippi State territory with the fan support that you're getting right now for Auburn baseball.
Which
That's
is so
what
cool.
You have become.
Yeah.
Yes.
So cool.
Yeah.
And expect that this weekend against a top five Texas team.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
People on the parking deck. A Texas team who, by the way, dare I mention, lost to, what is it, Tarleton State.
Tarleton
last night,
State, yeah.
Yeah.
6-1.
That's a juggernaut. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great series. And I think, Daryl, I know we got to let you go. I think that Texas team is the only other team in the country that has the pitching staff to mirror what Auburn has done so far. Their first two guys
are...
The
weekend pitching staff. But I don't think they have the midweek starter, in essence, was proven last night.
Right.
I mean, you don't get beat by Tarleton State if you've got... They've got the weekend starters to match Auburn. If Auburn gets in the College World Series and gets into the loser's bracket for whatever reason, that is why a guy like Alvarez is huge.
It's a great point. Yeah.
Huge.
It's a great point.
So,
and Auburn has that figured out from day one. So all sorts of great things going on around Auburn Athletics with football, basketball, baseball, you name it. Double D, Daryl Dappertz is talking about it on Locked On Auburn and the Barn. Plug it all, my friend. I appreciate you as always. Tell people where they can find your stuff.
Wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, Locked On Auburn, Wednesdays and Fridays with Zach Blackerby. I will be covering the game Saturday or Sunday against the University of Seattle. we'll be playing. I'll be doing live after that, and then the Barncast live at 8 p.m. with Zach and Kyle Rush.
Daryl, I appreciate you and your friendship, brother. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll do it again next week.
All right, take care, man.
Thanks so much. Daryl Dappertz, Double D. Check him out, Locked On Auburn and the Barn. He joins us every Wednesday, 3:05, to get the show started in hour number two here on ESPN 106.7. We'll take a break, come back, and have a quick conversation before we flip to more college basketball with the first four tonight. NCAA tournament starting tomorrow as well. All that coming up here on ESPN 106.7.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader and home of Auburn women's basketball.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we're back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Double D, Daryl Dapper, to Locked On Auburn and the Barn for joining us, as he does every single Wednesday. We talked about all three major sports with him, football and the Byron Brown stuff, the lack of stuff there, basketball winning the NIT game last night, and then Auburn baseball, who continues to play extremely well, maybe one of the best teams in the country. Phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the show, 334-321-1390, and we've got Lonnie from Lochapoca, and I want him to have time to say what he wants to say. I was only going to have like 60 seconds for him, and I just know that's not fair. So we're going to take our bottom of the hour break early, come back, and have plenty of time for Lonnie, plenty of times for other phone calls as well at 334-321-1390, or you could shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. Lonnie, hold on down there in Lochapoca. You will get us started in the next segment here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We've got 30 more minutes on ESPN 106.7.
halfway through hour number two. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins with you in the studio. No Christian Griffin. He is on the way to Phoenix City as Lee Scott Academy Baseball. Moving up to 7A for the day. They're taking on the Red Devils of Central Phoenix City, so he will be on the air right around 5 o'clock over on the Lee Scott Sports Network on Tiger Country 104.5, so be sure to go and check that out. But you and me for the last 30 minutes of the show. Phone lines are open. Would love to hear from you today. 334-321-1390. We go there now with Lonnie all the way down in Lochipoca. Lonnie, I better see you on Friday out at the Auburn Plaza Bar for our remote brought to you by Centigreen. You going to be there on Friday?
I don't know if I can make it this weekend, but I promise you I'll be there before the season's out.
Okay, okay. Well, what's going on in your world down there in Lochipoca? What's
on
your mind?
Some beautiful weather today. But I wanted to talk a little bit about baseball and basketball. I wasn't able to catch the first hour of the show, so
okay.
I probably mentioned Magwood. But was he just in the doghouse the entire season?
Yes.
I mean, what was up with him?
Yeah, I mean, basically, there was some stuff, and most of it, as far as I know, was off the court, or I guess out of game type of stuff, right? Just some disciplinary things to where it was the understanding that he just wasn't going to play, right? The last game that he appeared in was the Texas A&M game way back in early January, and he had not even sniffed the floor since. I mean, he didn't even take the shooting pants off for the rest of the SEC season. And then all of a sudden, right, you get to the NIT, you're down a man because Keyshawn Murphy opts out, and here's Caden Magwood. He goes off for 14 points last night.
Well, I'm a man of my word. I didn't watch 1 minute of that ball game. I did see the stats this morning. I did see all the baseball game. But, you know, I don't – if we can – as doom and gloom as I am about Stephen Pearl, if we can make the core of that team, and I have my doubts on whether Magwood is going to stay, because I think he might be a little bit butthurt about what happened to him this year.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can keep him with Jovic and Overton and Sway, that might be a decent nucleus to recruit around and get some transfer people around.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the goal, right, Lonnie, is to keep what you can. In today's era, it's obviously harder than it's ever been. But the young guys, especially in Magwood, I mean, who knows? Maybe a hot run in the NIT and some promise of playing time next year, and if he stays out of trouble, maybe. But that's still kind of up in the air, in my opinion.
Well, what I find interesting is that nobody is expecting Pettiford to stay.
No.
Like, nobody's even talking about Pettiford staying. It's almost like it's a foregone conclusion that he's gone.
Yeah, and that's just a vibe thing. I mean, there's obviously no confirmation on that yet, but that would be my guess. And look, there are still a lot of things that Tahat Pettiford has to figure out. I mean, he took a step back in the eyes of the NBA this season, and it's obviously what he's trying to get to.
I could see him being from New Jersey. I could see him ending up at UConn or St. John's or somewhere like that if he wanted to get back closer to home.
Yeah, I have thought about that.
He's not getting drafted. I mean, he's not going to. He probably could get drafted, but he's not going to get drafted high enough for him to go. He's going to make more money playing another year, and he needs another year. As far as baseball is concerned, and I said this. I know it's early in the season, but the look of this team is impressive. I said it weeks ago that this team has got the it factor. And the only criticism or the only thing that I would look at on this team that needs improvement is the second day reliever, middle reliever. If we can shore that up, I mean, we're already going to be tough to beat, but that second day middle reliever can be a little bit shaky. But if we can get somebody in there that's solid, and I think we can, I mean, this team looks really, really good. I liked what Darryl had to say, that they can beat you 2-1, they can beat you 8-6. He's absolutely correct about that. And the other thing I like about this team, and it really is the mark of good teams, they can work the count on the balls and strikes at the plate as good as any of the Butch Thompson's teams that I've seen.
Yeah, they're very
patient. I wanted to give a shout-out to that team. They're looking solid, and I expect them to take at least two or three Texas this weekend. So, War Eagle, have a good day.
Appreciate it, Lonnie. Always appreciate you calling in. Thank you for holding on through the break as well. 334-321-1390. Phone lines are open if you'd like to be a part of the show as well. Lot to dissect right there from Lonnie, and I want to talk about all of that, plus the Byron Brown stuff as well. So let's see if we can do that in the next 20 minutes or so. Let's start with baseball, since that's the last thing he talked about. Totally agree with the kind of second reliever conversation there, or just even the relief pitching staff as a whole for this Auburn team. On paper, right, you talk about Jet Johnston. You talk about Christian Chatterton, who you can bring in several times. He pitched last night. He's typically your go-to Sunday number two, right, after Petrovic does what he does, and there's nothing wrong with what Petrovic has been doing. His numbers are incredible. He's got a 2.02 ERA and 26 and two-thirds innings pitched, right? He has 31 strikeouts on the season, does Alex Petrovic in just five walks. Like, he is doing just fine. As of right now, you're not getting nearly as many innings out of Alex Petrovic as you have from Marciano and Sanders, but with Chatterton right behind him, you're doing just fine. I like Jet Johnston. I think he has everything and all the build to be a guy that you can rely on. I will say this. The injury to Drew Whalen is not being talked about enough. When he went out last week, right, came into relief through, what was it, like three pitches over the weekend against Missouri, and then was taken out grabbing at that arm. That's a big loss for this Auburn team that they have to overcome for now, and they're going to try. I haven't seen a timeline on that just yet with Drew Whalen. You're going to rely on Ethan Harden, who has only 2 1/3 innings pitched so far, but he will be in that rotation. LJ Cormier will be in that rotation, plus you have Ryan Hetzler as your closer. But yeah, in terms of this Auburn baseball team having the it factor, I want to take folks back quickly to the start of the season. Remember the opening series of the year? Do you remember this? Middle of February, Friday, and a doubleheader Saturday, where Auburn beats Youngstown State 2-1 and then has to go to extras to beat Youngstown State 2-1 again. Where people with this Auburn baseball team were already trying to write them off, already trying to say, oh no, this team doesn't have it. All the hype was fake about Auburn baseball, right? You can't even beat the Penguins from Youngstown State by more than a run. You had to go to extras against Youngstown State, where then you turned around and beat them 17-2 on a run rule on that doubleheader Saturday. You followed that up, right, by losing and getting blanked by Cincinnati 8-0, and all of a sudden Auburn baseball was fake, right, and they weren't what people thought they were going to be. And since then, Auburn has lost just one game, that 10-inning game against Nebraska, which Auburn probably should not have lost it, but that's baseball and it is what it is. You've been the best team in the country since you've won 11 games straight. This team is built different than what Auburn baseball teams have had in the past. And Butch Thompson will be the first one to tell you that. Had the joy and the pleasure of hearing him speak at a luncheon today, and he talked about several different things. And my goodness, is he one of the best speakers you're ever going to hear? And talked about how this team is just present. This team is just enjoying the ride day by day. He has a saying right now, this is the only March 18th you're ever going to get, so make the most of it. And I think that's really cool. I think that's really awesome. And I think that's what this team is doing. But when you look at the build of this team, the pitching rotation is the best Auburn maybe has ever had, right, at least at the weekend starters right now, that Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You also look at what Auburn is doing at the plate, to Lonnie's point. Their pitch count, their at-plate discipline is phenomenal. And you start to get several dudes worked back into what we know they can do. Gregorio going deep last night, right? Guevara, hope he's okay. All these guys that are getting in there, you're trying to get Rembert back to 100%. You start getting everybody playing their best baseball in all facets of the game, this team's going to be hard to beat on any given day, yes, but in any three-game series as well. So great points there from Lonnie about baseball. Let's flip to basketball. And again, the phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Text box is open as well at 784-1067. The basketball game last night was just weird to me because, look, I've been very vocal. I am not a fan of Auburn accepting this NIT bid. I'm just not. I don't love the optics of going from the Final Four to the NIT. I don't love the optics of having to play a 9 o'clock game on a Tuesday night against South Alabama and losing by 6 at the half. I don't love the optics of if you win the tournament, you get absolutely nothing in terms of credit or recognition, right? But the first time that Auburn slips up and loses in this tournament, it is a one-and-done tournament, by the way. Any time that you lose, whether it's against Seattle this weekend or if you run into, you know, Liberty or I don't care. I don't care who it is. There's not a single team in this tournament that losing to is acceptable for Auburn basketball. So I don't see the benefit of it. Even if the goal is to play some of the guys that you're trying to bring back for next year, which is what Lonnie talked about as well, with Filip Jovic, Sway, Sebastian Williams-Adams, Elijah Freeman, and then whoever else, right? Kevin Overton, Taha Pettifer, Cade Magwood. We just don't know what that looks like. And for me, personally, the three that I had kind of put my stock in was Sebastian, Elijah, and Philip. I think those are the three you need. I really do. I think those are the only three that Auburn really needs to focus on. Look, we love Taha Pettifer, but I think this relationship has come to an end. I think his freshman season was magical. His role was perfect, and he was a big reason that Auburn made it to the Final Four. But his sophomore season, that relationship was a forced marriage, and I just don't think it worked. Right? You start looking at guys, obviously the Murphy situation was wild, right? And that shows kind of what this team was down the stretch. Keyshawn Hall is gone and guys like that. Caden Magwood is another that, man, you asked me that question 3 or 4 days ago, and it was, no, there's no chance that Caden Magwood comes back to this team. The guy hasn't sniffed the floor in 2 months, and yet he gets in last night because Auburn didn't have enough bodies, and he actually played halfway decent. Caden Magwood's stat line last night, 17 minutes, 14 points, 4 of 8 from the floor, 3 of 7 from downtown, knocked down a handful of free throws, had 3 assists and just 1 turnover in 17 minutes of action. You had to play him. You didn't have a choice. You didn't have a choice but to play Caden Magwood last night, and he looked pretty good doing so. There was a lot of reasons that he was not playing. Most of them had nothing to do with his on-court performance. But I don't know if one game or even a set of games in the NIT would be enough to bring Caden Magwood back. I would love it. I think he's got all the talent in the world. I think he could be the next great Auburn point guard. I think he's got a lot of Javon McCormick in him. I think he's got a lot of maybe some of the Harper build in there, maybe some, and Javon, yes, because he wears the same number, but he's got a lot of that Auburn guard in him. He was a Bruce Pearl recruit, and for good reason, you can see why. I just don't think, unless he has a grown-up, man-to-man conversation with Stephen Pearl, and Caden realizes that Stephen was doing these things and I guess punishing him, and that's what it was, for his own good, and Caden realizes that this is the best place for him, and he can be better, and he can be a part of this team, right? Those are the conversations we just don't know about. We don't know what Stephen and this staff will or will not promise to Caden Magwood, and if he feels like he can get something better somewhere else, whether it's playing time, financial situation, or you know, compensation or whatever, then yeah, he's going to dip. And you can't really blame him. This year probably didn't go the way that he planned on it, right? So, for me, gut feeling here, Tahat Pettiford is gone, KO is gone, Magwood is gone. I think you have every opportunity for Auburn basketball to save your young core. A Filip Jovic, who, yes, is an older guy, but he is still considered a freshman, right? With then Sebastian Williams Adams, who is super talented, and you can mold into a four that you need. And then there's Elijah Freeman, who I think could end up being the best player on the team. I think he's that athletic. I think he's that talented, that gifted. And I think he's got a lot of the Jalen Williams mentality of he's so good, he doesn't know how good he is. Elijah Freeman has no idea how good he really is. And if you allow him not even to be the focal point, but just be one of the go-to guys, one of the key guys, one of the core guys of the Auburn basketball team and the Auburn basketball program, right, and somebody to grab him by the shoulder, same way they had to do with Jalen Williams, and say, hey, dude, you're nasty. Go show it. Go play like it. Go do what you do. Then I think Elijah Freeman could be one of the greatest returners for Auburn next year. But those three are the focal point. If you get somebody else, cool. You've got Caleb Williams coming in, the three-star guard, right, from the recruiting rankings. And then you got to hit the portal because you got to go get some bigs. You got to go get some depth. You got to go get some shooting. That's what Auburn needs on this team next year. So there's my take so far for Auburn basketball. They're going to play Seattle, I don't know, sometime this weekend. We don't know when. We don't know what day, what time, because why would the NIT do that when they can just do what they want to, right? So that's my take on that. I do want to talk football when we come back because we have one more segment to wrap up the show. And I'm going to tell you why the Byron Brown stuff that circulated the internet is so dumb and so just, so 2026. We'll talk about that and wrap up the show right after this.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today, man. We've talked all three major sports, baseball, basketball, a little bit of football in there as well. Our guy Daryl Dappert of Locked on Auburn in the Barn was with us to start the second hour. He had a ton of stuff to say. We kept him a few minutes long, but when the conversation was that good, it's hard not to keep him around. And so that was here in the hour. Christian was with me in the first hour. He is hopefully in Phoenix City right about now. He's got Lee Scott Baseball tonight on the radio over on Tiger Country 104.5 on the Lee Scott Sports Network. He'll have the broadcast for you. First pitch set for 5 o'clock Central Time between the Red Devils and the Warriors. So Lee Scott bumping up to 7A for the day, taking on the Central Red Devils. So you can tune in for that on the Lee Scott Sports Network on Tiger Country 104.5. But if you missed any of the show today, again, be sure to check it out on our station website at ESPNAU.com. You can also check out our Basketball Mayhem Bracket Challenge going on right now. Sign up before the games start tomorrow. Isn't that crazy? The NCAA tournament first round games tomorrow at what, like 11:10, 11:15, something like that in the morning. So get your bracket submitted tonight, all right? Get home, sit down, pull up the laptop, and get it filled out. Right now, you'll see my bracket in there, Christian's as well, when we get ours submitted tonight, too. Be sure to check that out, ESPNAU.com, our Basketball Mayhem Challenge. The winner will get a smart TV from us here at Auburn Network, custom WeatherTech floor mats from Turner Auto Group, a Yeti Roadie from University Ace Hardware, and Visa gift cards, $100 Visa gift cards from Point Broadband and CH Septic. So get those brackets in tonight or early first thing tomorrow morning at ESPNAU.com. And also, coming up on Friday, I know you've heard about it at this point, but if not, I'm going to tell you again, on March 20th, that's this Friday, the second day of the NCAA tournament, we will be tipping off the tourney here on ESPN 106.7, live on location, not in the studio, We're going to be out at Auburn Plaza Bar and Lounge in Midtown. Those nice white buildings off of Opelika Road across from Niffer's, that's where we're going to be. So come out, check it out. Brought to you by Sensegreen Heating, Cooling, and Insulation. Okay, they are the ones providing and making this possible on Friday. So all three local shows, the Max Roundtable with Doug Amos, ourselves from On the Line, and The Drive are going to be there. So come on out, hang out, take the day off of work. You know you want to. Do so. They're going to have drink specials, great giveaways from Sensegreen as well, so be sure you call on them for any of your HVAC needs with sensegreen.com. And tomorrow is Thursday. We're going to talk all things NCAA tournament. Going to hope to have Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network join us, Chris Gordy of Locked On SEC as well. So all that's going to come up on the show tomorrow. A couple of text messages here down the stretch in the text box. Someone said Elijah Freeman is a five-star athlete but a two-star basketball player. He has all the room in the world to grow as a player. And I think I'm afraid that a big-time team could get their claws in him and try to pull them away. But, God, Auburn has every chance to secure him and make him into just a freak player. Someone said Auburn-Seattle for the NIT is on Saturday, but the time is TBA. That's what I saw, too. But you just never know what they're going to do, so we'll see how that goes. Someone asked the question here on the way out. Over-under, Auburn plays 2.5 top 25 teams in non-conference men's basketball next year. I don't know how much of the schedule has already been solidified. Not a ton, especially with some of those big tournament games or those big non-conference games. But that question, of course, coming in relation to Auburn not being rewarded for playing all those games this year in non-conference play, I think you should still play them. My answer will be over 2.5. You should still play them. It just helps if you win one more or two of them, or you don't lose to teams like Ole Miss or Mississippi State. So that's kind of where I sit on that. And by the way, Byron Brown, his arm is fine. Don't give in to that. Don't give in to social media trolls. He threw for 3,000 yards last year. He's going to be just fine. And don't take storylines out of day one of spring practice because they're fake and they don't mean anything, okay? We're talking more of that tomorrow in the NCAA tournament. Get in your brackets at ESPNAU.com in the Basketball Mayhem Challenge. We're back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. So until then, for Christian Griffin, who's on the air in about an hour, check him out on Tiger Country 104.5. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.